Good afternoon, 2:42. So, what I would like to do today is try to finish up where we were on our quiz on Friday. So, y'all took the quiz on Friday, and we're thinking about the divers and if there was a problem with that. So, there was indeed a problem with the code that we worked on last week. And that comes down to this idea that we don't actually know which thread is going to finish at which time or the order of execution. So both threads, or multiple threads, are running through at the exact same time. And I don't know which one is accessing which line of code. And so on our first slide, we can kind of see that time is moving forward, but I don't know which line is going to be accessed at which time. So in this case, thread 2 gets through the while, the condition, and is off and running. Then thread 1 does the while, and it's, you know, both the cases, treasure is greater than 0 in both of those cases. Then thread 1 actually goes and gets the min of treasure and 13, so 9 and 13, so amount gets set to 9. And then before the next line can run, thread number 2 runs through and it gets the amount, which is set to the min of 9 and 13 or 9. And so at this moment in time, both thread 1 and thread 2 have amount, AMT, equal to 9. Then it's the case that thread 2 subtracts off 9 from treasure, which makes treasure 0. Then thread number 1 manages to subtract off 9 from treasure. But what's treasure at this moment? It's 0. So now treasure is negative 9. So you can see here that because we don't know the order and the variable treasure is shared, we actually can get situations in which the value gets is an unexpected value. So this is called the race condition. Both of these threads were racing through, and we don't actually know the order of operations or what's going to happen or the order in which things are going to complete. It's very similar to something like two trains. They both are on their own tracks, but they need to share a single track, maybe at a bridge or something. This is called the critical section. It's a shared section. And both of these trains, as they race there, are just doing that. They're racing. We don't know which one will get there first. Will the square get there? Will the Pentagon get there? I don't know. What I do know is that there'll be unpredictable results if both are in the critical section at the same time. That's where we're going to get our errors. Now, for trains, it's catastrophic. For our diver example, well, we just get a wrong answer. Whenever we're changing shared variables, we have a critical section. That is, two trains that are racing in to mess with the same piece of track at the same time. So, in general, there are a few solutions to this. And I'll leave you for the operating system's, you know, sections on that. For the quick and dirty answer, we're going to use something called a mutex. In C++ threads, that's called mutex. In our case, I've declared a mutex variable at the top. This needs to be shared across all the threads. Every thread needs to access the same mutex variable. I've named mine mtx. So a mutex provides mutual exclusion. This is just like a stoplight that only lets one car through at a time. All right? So the lock requires every thread to wait except for one. And that one thread now has access, alone, exclusive access, to the critical section. When that thread is done, it'll call the function unlock. And unlock will unlock the mutex, allowing the next thread to proceed through. All right? Just like a stoplight, everyone stops on red, except now one of them gets to go through. And when it's done going through, it signals and the next person can come through. So there's some words of warning off of this. Number one, you really only want to do this when you're modifying shared variables. Actually, reading from shared variables isn't that worrisome. If you modify a shared variable in only one spot and every other place you're just reading from it, well, you're not making a change to it, so it should probably be safe. It's really when you're doing assignments. In our diver's example, we can see how we're taking a value, reading it, and kind of caching that value and then using it on. And in that case, yeah, we probably want to wrap it in a mutex as well. We do want to limit the use. If we don't limit the use of mutexes, the threads will be waiting around doing nothing. And the reason we want to use threads is that we want parallelization. We want multiple threads on multiple cores running at the same time. If threads are sitting around waiting for one other thread to run, then we're really just sequentially doing work. In general, we want to make the places that we're using a mutex be small and focus just on the sharing of the variables, the modifying the shared variables. You could solve the problem by wrapping the entire function in a mutex, but that actually doesn't allow for parallelization at all, right? In the case of the divers, one diver just gets all the money and gains all the treasure. Well, that's not really the solution, is it? So we want to limit the amount that we use our mutex and limit the scope of where a mutex is. Finally, we do have to worry about something called deadlock. Now remember, the threads don't have to be running the same functions, but they could and can still share the same global variables. So in the case of deadlock, this is really, to simplify, circular waiting that's not going to be able to be resolved. In other words, I have locked a mutex that you want to get, that you're going to wait on. But I'm waiting on a mutex that you already have locked. Okay, so I'm not going to give up my mutex until I get yours, and you're not going to give up your mutex until you get mine. Well, we're just in a standoff, and no way for us to go forward. So that's another worry. Solving these synchronization problems can be very difficult. But in our case, and in general cases, well, we just really want to parallelize things, and we know where our shared access points are, and so we can just wrap them in a mutex and usually be pretty successful. All right, so this is a very short little note and lecture. We would probably go over more examples, but I want to prompt you to ask me some questions on mutex, and I think this gives us our first way in. I would like to continue on in our next lecture about talking about the divers problem and looking at some ways that we can kind of make threading a little bit more accessible as to our data structures and to the way we want to structure data. And so that's going to be coming up. I hope to be able to work on that tomorrow and get it out and kind of get caught back up on the lecture that we were behind. I do have your grades in for lab number one, so you can go and look at that, and I'll be grading on lab number two in the very near term. Lab number three is ready to go out. I'm finishing up the writing. I think it's smaller, but it will be a full project, and my plan is to have it due next Friday. That leaves us with two labs after that. One lab will be on processes, and the last lab will be on sockets. I hope to put them out as soon as I have finished writing them up so that you can kind of be working in the future on things and not kind of be chasing it. All right. If you have questions, please ask on the Slack, and I'll talk to you again soon.